friend to Fabian.
He canceled because of the rain.
What kind of adult man rides a penny farthing?
He's a haikuist!
We have arrived at the end of the creek, as David and Patrick's wedding day is here, but an unexpected maelstrom throws everyone into a tizzy to relocate the nuptials. To calm David's nerves, Patrick schedules a wedding day massage, which leaves David grinning and Patrick gagging. Topping things off with a missing officiant and Alexis's white dress with a netting hairpiece, will David make it through the big day? Join us as we celebrate precious love and bid best wishes and warmest regards to our favorite characters. It's the season 6 and series finale. Happy ending.
Chin chin, Katie, we made it to the season finale.
Happy wedding day.
Happy wedding day. What a happy ending.
Not to you, but to David and Patrick.
Katie, where are we right now?
We are in my office, in a corner of my office.
I am sitting at your normal desk. You are crouched in an ergonomic desk chair.
With my formal
in your formal
bridesmaid gown on.
I'm wearing my sparkliest Moira dress covered in cat hair, but that's okay.
From my cat or yours?
Delighted to be from your cats.
Delighted to be here. Delighted to be here, guys.
And happy New Year's Eve to everybody listening.
Happy New Year's Eve.
What a way to end the year.
Our very last regular episode.
Really? It's been almost 2.5 years. Can you believe?
We only have like a couple to go besides.
Well, this is the last episode, and then we've got two debates, and
we'll see.
And there she, that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know if we have anything else special planned in that.
I don't know either. We did no polls, per usual, as of late. But I wanted to ask, Katie, what did you get for Christmas? Any exciting gifts?
Well, my exciting gift was a very adult stick vacuum, cordless vacuum.
Ooh.
It's very nice. I wanted it for my hard floors for my kitchen.
Nice.
Just because I have a lot of cats and mm-hmm. cleans up cat hair real quick and easy without dragging the big vacuum out.
Yeah.
And my other big thing so far was this big whiteboard calendar that I got for my gym downstairs, which is going to become very important in my marathon
training. Game plans
training.
And program plans?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and we have yet to have my family Christmas yet.
Okay, so there's still more
there's still to come, possibly. Probably something from Crystal. That would be my only guess.
Okay.
Maybe something small for my nephew. What about you?
Nice.
What was your big...
I got a lot of little things this year, big things. We got some camping equipment, like a camping like kitchen table where we can like...
Because you went one time last year, right?
We went twice, and we definitely want to go more. So we got some camping equipment. I got a... So exciting when you're in your 30s and you get stuff for Christmas. I got a glass mixing bowl for my KitchenAid mixer, which was like actually something I was very excited
about. Isn't that nice though that you don't have to buy that stuff yourself?
It really is. Oh, probably the best thing I got though was a eye massager.
Oh,
it
yes.
looks like
careful with your cord.
Tech, it looks
tech
like
detail.
It looks like VR goggles,
yes,
but it gives you like heat and pressure. Oh, I sent you a video or a photo.
I've seen them, and
it,
how
we've all tried
it...
them on. It's amazing. You can use it on your eyes, but also I could put it on my forehead. I could put it on the back of my head.
I was gonna ask you to bring it, and I forgot.
I forgot to. You can try it.
Crystal got one last year or the year before, and
so she just didn't use it.
Brought it out.
Died.
Was she like? Used it too much before she brought it out, and then it wasn't charged enough, and as soon as I put it on my face, it died.
It died. But that's probably my most exciting gift that I can think of.
Joe and I are at odds about what makes a Christmas gift, because he did his mom's shopping for him this year, mostly because he wanted to put it all on his Amex card and get Delta Platinum status, but also because she has bad knees and arthritis. It's just easier, like, whatever. So she gives them a budget for each sibling and their families. And
all the shopping, not just
his
gifts.
Yeah, he did a lot of the shopping for her. And so he's, like, telling us our budget. And I was like, oh, well, I have a list of things that I've been, like, just would normally buy for myself, but I've been saving it because it's Christmas time. Like, so if you want anything specific for me, there's smaller things.
Mm-hmm. Here's
like,
some ideas.
Like the whiteboard was the thing. Then he was like, well, we have a blah, blah, blah budget. And it was, like, a decent amount. He's like, what do we need around here? And so I came up with the vacuum. Fine. But then I also was like, well, I've really been wanting to get nightstands for the spare bedroom. And he was into it at first because he was like, oh, we could get new ones for our bedroom and put ours upstairs. I said, yeah, that's a great idea. And we found some ones we really like that have a light in them and do all this shit. And then he's like, well, that's not really a Christmas gift. Like, what do you mean it's not a Christmas gift?
Anything can be a Christmas gift.
Like, anything that I don't have to pay for is a Christmas gift. And then it's like, I'm coming up with things for the house. Well, that's not really a Christmas. He wants something fun.
That you wouldn't get for yourself. Yeah. As a, like...
I guess. But the thing is, we get ourselves the things.
You get yourself
the
fun things.
We get ourselves the things.
So you need the responsible things.
So it's like, I don't want to pay for a vacuum and nightstands.
But you
still
want them.
When your mom will pay for it.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting nothing. Because he still has our money to spend.
So, yeah, TBD on that.
I literally opened nothing at his family Christmas. Oh. The vacuum was here, but because his mom and dad were here and it was just out already, we just opened the box and used it.
Well, I definitely was more practical with my gift giving this year. Like, I made lists throughout the year of, oh, this would be something I would like, or this is something I think Sushant could like or use.
Yeah.
And, like, I got him car wash coupons in his stocking and... We were both equally excited about that.
As an adult, like,
so like I'm going to get that anyway, so why?
And I don't need any more junk. I just need the things I actually need.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
All right. So
well,
Christmas
this
is over.
Christmas is over. Moving into New Year's. Any New Year's resolutions?
Just my running goals. Not really, not really a resolution thing
but a goal.
This year. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a resolution.
It's a resolution.
You didn't run one last year, so you're going to. Run one this year.
I'm setting a goal to run 1,000 miles this year.
Okay.
A lot of that will be done in the bulk of my marathon training, but that'll need some more work on the outsides of that too.
Okay.
So we'll see. And on my Goodreads, I'm setting a goal to read 60 books this year instead of 50 because I did 50 last year.
Wow, that's great.
Resolutions for you?
Well, we're going to have a busy year.
You're getting married.
So there's some like big goals there. Yep, getting married. I'm going to India for the first time. We would like to seriously start house shopping in this next year. I also, speaking of 1,000 hours, saw this really cool challenge last year of it's called the 1,000 hours challenge, where you spend 1,000 hours outdoors for the whole year. So that means you have to track all your outdoor activities, and it can't just be like going to the 5 minutes
going to Walmart,
you know,
whatever.
Yeah, those little micro
like
outdoors time activities. And I'm like, that is a lot of time. Should I do 500 hours or should I just go for the full 1,000? I don't know, but I think that's something I want to try.
That's a good idea.
Especially with the winter, just to like be intentional about getting outside.
A lot of people with kids I know do that, try that.
Get away from the screen time, and, which I could probably benefit from
that
too.
Yeah, we could all benefit from that.
So I think that's my main goal, and then just getting through the busyness of this upcoming year, so...
Good thing we're stopping because you are going to be busy.
It is going to be busy.
You ain't going to have time for no podcast. Ain't nobody got time for that after this year.
I'm going to miss this though, and we'll have to figure out our
Thursday night dates.
Our Thursday night dates.
Is this a permanent thing?
We'll just learn to be friends on friend terms.
Yeah.
Which we are.
And honestly, it's been a long time since we were friends without Schitt's Creek.
It has been. I mean, we even, like, well, I just gave you Schitt's Creek, or my mom gave you Schitt's Creek gifts. So I'll have to, like, think of what are some of Katie's other interests.
We'll always have the cats.
We'll always have the cats. You're right. And boy, do you have the cats.
Boys are downstairs hanging out with probably Lucy is down there with them, the new baby. Mm-hmm. May's in here with us supervising the recording this evening.
Yeah.
Enjoying some peaceful time away from Lucy. And Sammy, I bet, is sleeping on the back of the chair where we left her.
Probably.
So.
Peace and quiet. Well, Katie, this is our final episode. It feels like I can vividly remember when we recorded the first episode. That was 80 episodes of the show ago, which is crazy. But here we are, and even the little intro audio bit, I remember recording it months ago at this point and, like, getting teared up thinking about, like, this is the last one. But I don't know. We're just going to get through it. We're going to get started.
It goes fast, too.
It does.
I watched back, I was like, oh, shit, this is a fast episode.
So we... mentioned this a while ago, but we kind of disqualified this from being one of the simply the best just because it's like it's too obvious of
final.
A choice, it's too final. But I do think watching it, like, and I'm glad the ones we chose, but this is, like, in my mind, like, nearly a perfect episode
on the list. If we're making a list, it's on
definitely.
The list.
But with
I was trying to think of that on the way home from work today. Actually, I was thinking if we were making a list, thinking of the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 that we picked, plus these two. And I'm sure there are others we've said along the way that get honorable mention. Like, we'll have to, like, give the list of honorable mentions, too.
I think so.
That we're, like, cutting it close. Because we had a few, especially these last two seasons, where we were like, oh, this could have easily been.
Mm-hmm. There's only one flaw with this episode, which is very superficial, which we'll talk about when we get to it. But other than that, I think, like we said last week, last week's episode could have been the finale, and this just feels like a bonus treat. Like a,
I'm very curious about this one flaw.
I have an issue
with part of it.
I think you do. I think we're thinking the same thing, but we'll find out when we get there. So right, with that being said, should we dive in one last time?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we start in a very unusual way with this episode. It's a title card. Says Day of Wedding. Feels not like the show at all. It's very different. And then we see Moira, Johnny, and Alexis standing over sleeping David. Moira's got this like very pixie looking streaky pink and blue wig. It's one of her.
It's one of my favorites. Really? Very, very short lived, but it's super cute.
It's very different. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's, what a way to end. And they're hovered around his bed, and Alexis coughs loudly to try to wake him up, and it scares him. He's like, what happened? Who died? Did Patrick die?
What a way to wake up. Are these the thoughts?
Maybe he was having some nightmares, pre-wedding nightmares or something. So he's very angry that he was startled awake, thinking that there was some sort of tragedy. And when he says that, Johnny kind of laughs awkwardly, and Moira says, well, there was a slight singultus. Which is a hiccup. I had to Google that. Singultus.
Yeah, because even David says, what's she talking about? And then she adds, a hiccup.
A hiccup. Yes. So it is, in fact, a hiccup.
And Johnny kind of just was like, imagine, like, that could be the worst thing, dying. Right. But to David, dying is not the worst. Somebody
died. We're going to find out. Because Alexis, she gets very serious, sits down at David's bedside and says, there was a big storm last night and everything is soaking wet. And they're looking at changing venues the day of the wedding. What a nightmare. We knew they were going to get married on the grounds of the motel. Perhaps like in that grassy side yard or like maybe by the shed, by the grill. I don't know where. But I guess that's out of the question now because everything is underwater. Is so let's talk outdoor weddings really quickly and weather risks specifically.
Stressful.
My older brother, when he got married in, this was in St. Louis, they had an indoor wedding, but between the wedding and ceremony, we were supposed to go for outdoor photos, and that got called off because there was a tornado and a hailstorm.
Oh, man.
And we basically had to all rush to the reception venue and bunker down for like 30 minutes while the storm went through. But I can only imagine when your entire wedding, or the majority of it, depends on being outdoors.
Right, everything, not just pictures.
Right. It's everything. Have you?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about it.
So any good venue has a backup plan or place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Crystal's wedding was outdoors. The reception was indoors, but the ceremony was outdoors. But they had this huge overhang where they could have had it. So it still would have been outdoors, but under this thing. Mm-hmm. Not as pretty, but same deal. We had one wedding that comes to mind. Luckily, we had most of the weddings went off without a hitch. Actually, there are two now that come to mind. There was this particular one was outdoor ceremony, reception in a tent, and this was a day of tornadoes. Like, on the way to the wedding, I was hearing tornado warnings on the radios and hearing them by our neighborhood. And I'm like, are we going to have a freaking house to come back to tonight? It was a little insane. And on the way to the wedding, like where we were going, rain, tornadoes, blah, blah, blah. Also, to top this particular situation off, it was one of the worst couples and whole situation that we've ever been in. So the rain delayed the ceremony for a really long time. And the bride just kept wanting to put it off. We'll wait. Want to have it outside. Even though they had a backup place, a backup plan to do it in the tent. And eventually, they ended up doing it in the tent anyway, after waiting for so long, which would be frustrating to me as a guest, because I'd be like, what in the hell is going on here? Like, so we had that in the tent, and she was kind of a diva about it. But it's like, what are you going to do? Like, we can't do anything. She did get an hour quick for pictures. And then later, things opened up. We had the reception as planned in the tent, because everything was fine.
Yeah.
The other one that comes to mind was an outdoor ceremony with an indoor venue. And we had just happened to park. It was a super long parking lot that we had to park. So you couldn't walk from the venue to the outdoor space. Mm-hmm. So we moved our car, right? And as we're setting up for the ceremony, everything's seeming fine. And everyone walked in, down the aisle and all the stuff. And I'm looking at the clouds and I'm like, man, those clouds are really like gathering quickly, mm-hmm. like very quickly. And I didn't, we didn't have anything. We didn't have our umbrellas with us. We didn't have our rain covers. We had rain covers made by our friend Kelly ages ago when we first started this business. Mm-hmm. She made them to fit our cameras. And I just, on a hunch, like left my camera on stationary and went to the car quietly and got our umbrellas and rain covers. And the second I got back, it just downpoured. Everyone was soaked. The bride was soaked. We were soaked. Thank God I went for the umbrellas because our equipment would have been dead. Like, mm-hmm. it was that bad of a rain because they can handle, like, a little bit here and there. But anyway, from my standpoint, from a vendor standpoint, it's super stressful. And everyone makes it ruin their day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's completely beyond your control. And you try to remind people what the most important thing is in the mm-hmm. end of the day. But it just, like... it's frustrating. So what is your backup plan? Because you have an outdoor venue.
We have an outdoor ceremony location, but there is an indoor ceremony location, weather pending. But the property manager, event manager told us, you know, they watch the forecast, and if it's like a 15-minute storm, sometimes they'll wait and let it blow through, and other times we just say, okay, we'll go inside. Yeah. So there's a little bit of flexibility, but we would never wait like a significant amount of time because then people are just standing around and it's like...
and it delays everything
else. It pushes everything else back too. And I knew, like, I'm not a tent person, and we'll find out David isn't a tent person either, uh-huh. or at least didn't opt for the tent, but I never wanted to rely on a tent for outdoor space. So David is clearly very overwhelmed. You know, where could they possibly switch venues to at this point? Bob's Garage, he jokes, but Moira says that his roof was no match for the storm. So apparently Bob's business might be out of commission, which is not a great time for Bob because he's already lost his home.
He really needs that.
He really needs that.
Is he living at the garage at this point? He might be homeless.
He might be. David says he feels like he's in a Black Mirror episode, which is such an interesting line now that Annie Oh, you haven't?
No,
oh,
never watched it.
I've only watched like two or three, and that was one of them. And it was, I mean, they're all very unique and standalone, but, Alexa says, you know, this probably isn't the best time to ask, or it's kind of irrelevant, but why didn't you get a tent? And I'm like,
bad timing,
but also seriously, David, that's what I mean. Like, I hate tents, but I can't imagine not having
when I'm thinking of all something. That goes into even a tent wedding, like table coverings and runners and flowers, like is all that stuff set up and was sitting outside?
You know? I would imagine everything. Or maybe just the grounds were so wet.
Maybe.
Because we see them later moving stuff to get set up.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine not having some sort of covered backup, even if it was an ugly tent. But David yells back, they didn't have the budget for the tent and the wood fire pizza oven, which is what he really wanted, which I'm like, okay, same. So I wonder if they ended up going with Penelope's Catering after all, or maybe the pizza was just like a late night option for like a snack
or like
towards
appetizer.
The end. Yeah. So then things are only getting worse because he finds out that his Elmdale efficient Fabian isn't coming. He canceled because of the rain. Is he made out of paper?
But he rides a penny farthing.
He rides a penny farthing, which if you don't know what that is, that's one of those old-timey bicycles where the front wheel is like 5 feet high and the back one is teeny tiny.
I have a picture of me riding one from the Public Museum that year we took Logan for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. They have like a stationary one you can hop up for a picture.
I don't know how people ride those in real life.
Honestly, how do you start and how do you stop are my biggest questions. Yeah. But he's also a haikuist, David explains.
Did we write haikus about Schitt's Creek
before? We did at one point. They were kind of limericks, but...
oh, yeah. But did we actually write haikus?
I honestly don't remember. It's been so long.
17
Tell
syllables.
Us on the podcast. Did we... everyone out there, did we ever do haikus? Those are the 573 or 575.
I think, yeah. 573. There's 17 syllables total. We should come up with some by the end of the episode.
Okay. Or maybe we'll post them by the time this goes out.
I'll brainstorm that while you...
So he canceled because of the rain, and I'm thinking, was that in their contract? Did they even have a contract? Because that sounds like something you could go to court over if someone just cancels because of the rain.
Due to the weather.
Due to the weather. But Johnny tries volunteering to step in as the officiant, but he can barely get through that sentence without choking up, so that's a no. He's not going to make it through a whole ceremony if he can't even, like, theoretically talk about it. And Moira chimes in that she did bring down the house at Pat Sajak's wedding, which, if you don't know who that is, Wheel of Fortune.
His first wedding, she says.
His first wedding, which I did fact check. He has been married twice.
Has he? Okay. Yes. Good to know.
Can I buy a vow? They all laughed. Except David's not laughing at anything. Johnny says, well, that'll do, and I'll handle the rest of their arrangements. Now that we have the money, the last thing we need, I love how he says this, is some, or is to leave town with some cheap-ass, soggy
wedding.
And David, in a moment of surprise, is trying to be optimistic. Well, maybe the sun will come out. But just as he says that, there's these rolling thunder.
Kaboom.
Thunder going on in the background, and he starts yelling, fuck. And he's just slamming his hands on the bed. Fuck.
Moira just gathers everyone.
They all kind of back slowly away from him. And then he even says, where are you going? And as they leave the room, you can hear Moira softly say, somewhere safe. Which is hilarious.
So funny.
So that was the cold open. Next we see, I do have a note in here to make sure we get to our sponsor because we have a tendency to blaze through.
Well, we're just rolling through
and
one big storyline.
We're just
going to
go through the whole storyline tonight. I feel like it only makes sense that way. Next, we're at Patrick's apartment, and it's still pouring rain out, and David is pacing around, regretting the pizza over the tent, and said he didn't really need pizza that badly, but Patrick, who clearly knows his fiancé, says, well, let's not get carried away.
Yeah.
Like, I know you, David. You need
you
that
need
pizza.
The food.
And he's regretting not getting married indoors, but Patrick reminds him how he hates indoor weddings.
You said indoor weddings were tacky.
He said, no, I said a lot of them are tacky and a lot of them are indoors. So Patrick's really trying to soothe his soon-to-be husband. Says, I know how important it is that the success of this wedding is what you want it to be. But at the end of the day, no matter how or where or when, we'll be getting married. I'll be kissing you at the end of the aisle and call you my husband.
Like exactly.
A very sweet, grounding moment. David appreciates it, but does say he has to draw the line at getting married in Roland's living room. He says those carpets do not photograph well, which
but come
we
on,
know
that
this.
Seems to be the place.
It does, but not for this. So Patrick says he's heading to the motel to help Johnny figure out these new plans, but in the meantime has scheduled a massage for David. To help him relax.
This sounds so luxurious.
It does. He's like, something for you to relax where you can't talk until we have a plan. And David can't believe he was able to hire a masseuse so last minute, but Patrick, knowing his fiance very well, says this has been planned for weeks. He just had the feeling David wouldn't be able to handle wedding day stress.
Duh.
And he was right. Although David disagrees with that assessment, Patrick points out, well, you have had 3 bagels in the last half hour. Which I don't think I ever caught that line.
The bagels were a mistake.
The bagels were a mistake.
That's a lot. I was thinking about my capacity to eat bagels, and I don't think I could do
that. Especially when you think about, like, one bagel is kind of like 2 bagels.
That many in that.
That's a lot.
I mean, that many, yes.
And did they
but
have
in 30
cheese?
Minutes.
Like,
and,
that's
yeah,
a lot.
Were they topped with a schmear?
Did they
have a schmear on them?
That is a lot in such a short amount of time. So Patrick says he's given the masseuse a heads up just to keep David calm today. Let them do their job. He basically kisses David to shut him up and leaves. And as he's leaving, David does have to yell, don't neglect the lighting. And Patrick, okay,
love you
too. He does get a last minute love you, though, as he leaves. Then we cut back to the motel in Moira's room. Her bags are all packed now completely. She, if you remember... She and Johnny are leaving first thing the next morning
for
California, so she's got to be ready to go. But she's at her desk trying to write her officiant script now that she's taken on that role, which, Katie, you are way ahead of Moira. We've still got like 130 days.
I'm not writing
days.
It on the same day, so
yeah.
We're good.
She starts off with, I love it, hello you. Are we ready to spin the wheel of life today is what she's started out, her first draft. But apparently that was a recycled joke that she used at Pat's wedding. But it didn't even go over
even
very
Vanna
well.
Even Vanna didn't laugh
so
at that.
So she probably shouldn't use it for this wedding. It doesn't even make sense in this context. Just then, Alexis comes over, and Moira, in a very sweet mother-daughter moment, she's like, Alexis, you are as bewitching as ever. And I just love
this moment's
the
so
growth
cute.
That they can, you know,
appreciate
and be open about their feelings. Like, a couple seasons ago, she didn't even know Alexis's middle name or birthday or all of the above. So just paying attention to each other and being open, I think, is so sweet between the two of them. And it gets emotional for Alexis a little bit. And she is realizing that this is the last time they're all going to be here in the motel. I think for her, too, like, she's going to be the one who's going to be going off totally on her own.
Yeah,
partner.
Because we know she's going by herself
yes.
now.
And Moira is trying to shut down the emotion and the sadness, you know, saying that, Alexis, I think you'll quickly learn to appreciate the luxury of privacy. But Alexis recalls a year where they didn't even see each other at all for the whole year. Moira wonders if this was the year she did the campaign for looky-loo binoculars. So was that like an international campaign where she had to travel, or she was just really
looky-loo tied binoculars up in her kind work. Of sounds something like
perverted.
You spy on your neighbors with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think
kinky.
Definitely.
She, I don't know if you're going to mention this, but she also says part of me is almost glad we lost the money.
Yeah. And that gets a look from Moira. Like,
oh, you're
okay,
not the first one to fall in love with her captors.
Yes. And I think, you know, we've come to accept that Moira is very relieved to be getting out of this town.
Yeah.
But Alexis is focusing on the growth as a family that
yeah.
they've had and is probably worried that they're just going to go back to their old ways. And this truly might be the last time
yeah.
that they're together. So after she says the hostage and falling in love with your captor line that you just mentioned, Alexis just swoops in, gives her a really warm hug. And there's so much love in this episode because she just says, I love you very much, and gives her mom a little nose boop.
And Moira has to, like, shake it off.
She does.
Yeah.
It kind of rattles her a little bit because I think she's just trying to keep her head in the game for, you know, this new role that she's
right.
taking on. And she can't handle unexpected emotions right now. So then we cut to the massage, which is in-house, which you've had those before, right? You've had somebody come.
I've had a couple, yes.
With the massage table.
It's the best thing, but she doesn't do it anymore. Now I have to go to her, which is fine. She's still.
Well, it's in their house or apartment. He's getting all the knots out of his neck. It's a very handsome-looking masseuse man. David tells him, you're very good at your job. Or it could be the half pill I took, or maybe a combination of these
One
things.
One of Moira's happy pills.
He's definitely enjoying the massage. The masseuse tells him his neck is like a block of granite, which he thinks is a compliment. Like, it's all muscle.
And no, it's tension.
Like, no, it's definitely tension. Tells him to take some deep breaths, and then flips over on his back, and he does a thing where he kind of holds up the blanket for you. When you had massages, did you go full undies?
It's
clothes
like
on.
Undies only, topless,
yeah. Yeah.
everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So David flips over, and then, you know, the masseuse off camera tells him to breathe and kind of moves out of frame. And then we see just from above David's head, and then he shoots up as he realizes this massage comes with some extra perks. Down below, to be specific.
Whoa, he says.
Whoa. But he kind of is smiling when he says it, too. He's not, doesn't look that upset.
Hello.
So we're going to have to put a pin in that for a second. There's a lot of jumping around as they're trying to get stuff figured out today. Because back at the motel, Johnny is under a tent. He's got Stevie and Patrick.
A whole crew with him.
A whole crew. They're wearing raincoats. The volunteers are specifically the Shits, Ronnie, Twyla, Bob, and Ray, who's got his camcorder.
There to document everything.
Johnny says we need a venue and know it can't be Roland's house, but Roland quickly offers it up, and Jocelyn even hops on and says, yeah, we even have some, you know, baby sprinkle
wonder if they have that
decorations
fucking pinata.
Left. They can just put, like, a tuxedo
Where
on
I
it.
Where I put this fucking thing?
Stevie jumps in and says, as maid of honor, I'm going to shut that down on David's behalf, doing a great job. Ray is recording this whole thing, but Patrick and Johnny both say, these are the moments we want to remember. And they only have a few hours to get this plan together, is the thing.
It seems stressful.
It seems very stressful. There's a truck in the background. And so, yeah, are they loading up stuff that they already set up? Or are
okay.
they just going to have to
Maybe
move
Maybe some
them?
Tables and chairs, whatever.
Who knows? Ronnie chimes in kind of monotone that she knows the florist and she can get them to throw in some extra flowers. And, you know, Johnny's like, well, that's very nice, but I don't think that's going to solve our big issues. But she's like, Johnny, I know her. So
this is her girlfriend
maybe
or something.
Before,
maybe
each other before
they're together
they're,
or
they've passed in the night
in cahoots
like ships in the night. They've knocked boots. They've knocked cargo pants. Patrick thanks Ronnie and says that would be very nice, but she says, "I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it for David," which obviously
because you look like a thumb.
Yes. Twyla offers up the cafe, but only between the lunch and dinner rush. So is that just for, like,
cocktail hour
maybe? And Bob offers up the garage for parking. They just need to keep one space clear for Gwen in case she comes back, even though we've seen her.
She's
so
been
she's around, Bob.
She was around for Moira's going away
she's,
party thing
she's
last
She's not coming
week.
Back. Roland suggests Town Hall could be the closest venue option, especially if they use Bob's for parking. And Patrick says David is already going to have a heart attack, but it could potentially work. It could be a raw space that they, you know, transform, maybe.
We know they transform it for meetings, mm-hmm. recital-type events.
Yes.
So what else have they hosted in
there? It's probably
the
most open floor plan place with options. And at this point, like you said, what do they have? Ooh. They all look on board, like, we'll just...
Whatever, it
we'll
is what it is.
We'll have to make it work. So Stevie and Patrick go back to the boys' apartment as a united front to tell David that this is the venue of choice. And Patrick is kind of on the defensive, like, I don't want to hear anything about it.
But enthusiasm.
But to their surprise, David... So the massage is over. David is on the bed, sipping tea, looking shockingly calm about all of it. And he's just like, okay, it's fine. He's very blasé. And now they're worried, like, what is wrong with you?
Are you too drugged now, or what's happening?
You know, what happened in this massage, Stevie asks. And David says, as long as my husband doesn't stand me up at the altar, I don't care where we get married. And David says that the massage, you know, because Patrick even comments on that, it must have really done a number on you. And David says, yes. And that was the first time I ever had a happy ending.
Stevie's jaw drops.
She is loving that
every
she's here
second
right
from now on.
And Patrick, meanwhile, is white as a ghost, even whiter than normal. His jaw drops. Stevie is doing double takes, and David is like, "Did you have to pay extra for that?" And he's grinning from ear to ear, like he clearly enjoyed it. But Patrick is insisting he definitely did not. Ask for that or pay for that, and can't believe that he got this
on his wedding day from a stranger.
Stevie is just loving this. Says this is what Ray should be filming right now. Can you imagine?
David shoots her a look. Like
he does. And Patrick wants to know why David thinks that he would want his own fiance to have a happy ending, like you said, from a stranger on the day they're going to be getting married. But David just assumed that it was a way to de-stress him.
I thought you wanted it.
I thought you knew what you were paying for. And he says, I was both shocked and impressed. So it must have gone well. And Patrick is just beside himself. He's the one super stressed and said, we never discussed this. All I did was I left an envelope full of cash and a note that said to take very good care of you. And as I'm saying these words, I realize how that could have been misconstrued.
That sounds to a certain type of person.
But isn't that always like the running joke? Like you might walk into the wrong massage parlor and like you never know what's going on
behind
the curtain.
Okay. So is this...
Like where they try to call you in like... From off the sidewalk, like, would you like a massage?
I don't know. Like, I don't go to sleazy places.
I don't either. But I see people who do walk in. I'm like,
but
do you know what you're walking
this
into?
This is what I thought you were going to say is the one flaw of the show, episode. Mm-mm. Because this is the one I have kind of an issue with. It's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's funny. And the punchline at the end is great. The fact that David mixes this in later. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. But I was just surprised that Dan Levy took it there. Because it can be so offensive to people who are actually in the massage therapy industry. Mm. And it's so stereotypical, you know? Mm. I don't have a problem with it. But okay. I feel like people do.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. I've even read, like, on this spa page that I used to go to.
That it gives them a bad
that
rap.
That it gives them a bad rap. And that... She's like, you know, us who are certified, we go to school for this for mm-hmm. so long. We go to continuous training. And it's like, this is not, she's like, I don't even like to be called a masseuse. It's demeaning.
Massage
and like,
therapist.
Yes. And like talking about how people make a running joke out of that. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just felt like this was like a cheap. I think it's funny. Like, mm-hmm. And it's definitely cute later how it gets tied in. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like other people definitely think it's kind of cheap. Like,
okay, interesting.
Kinda low. But I do have one other. Since you said it was superficial, I have another one
that's the one I'm thinking of. I think that being an issue seems more substantial for people who would be offended by that.
The one thing, though, Stevie says, to be clear, you didn't stop it.
Yes.
I love David's line. Marcia Clark, court is adjourned for you. Like she's just always there.
She is. And then she even asks, well, was it at least good?
Yes.
And Patrick barks, "Do not answer that. Was it? Don't answer." Like, he's, he
this doesn't is one know. Of my favorite David Stevie moments of all time.
So Patrick, who's now the one who is super
needs
stressed,
to be calmed down.
He needs to be consoled. David takes his head in his hands and says, "You know, nothing could compare to you." While he's still grinning the whole time, calls him his husband to be. Gives him a big hug, but also gives Stevie a side eye and a thumbs up. And Stevie's just losing her mind.
She mouths, "Oh my God," and like turns around. That is one of my favorite David Stevie moments, like best friend status right there.
And there's rarely been a moment like this where they get to be like, it's usually Patrick and Stevie
versus
gang,
David.
And now
yes.
poor Patrick is the one who's
so cute.
Caught in the middle. So he tells them, "I'll see you at town hall. We're going to get married.
At
it's going to be great."
He has to, like,
at
choke the words
town
out.
Town hall. So, Katie, I think this is the perfect time to cut to our sponsor break.
I was just about to say, should we go to a break? All
we
right,
definitely
cool.
should. And then we'll come back and we'll see how this big day is going to pan out.
Okay.
Smile and say Havarti this week because we've saved the best sponsor for last. It's the one and only Ray Butani Wedding Videography. When you're planning your big day, there are so many stressful and important decisions to be made, but no decision should be easier than calling Ray, a man of many talents who knows how to capture every single moment of the special day. From the smallest yawn of your second cousin in the back row to the dripping mascara down your officiant's face, Ray's HD quality, double-fisting videography will memorialize every detail, even the ones you didn't know you'd want to remember. Mention this podcast for a complimentary refurbished 1990s Viewmaster featuring 10 frames of film from your first kiss so you can relive it over and over again in slow motion. So if you're ready to say I do to a motion picture perfect wedding day, call Ray Butani Wedding Videography today and you'll be rewatching your precious love over and over again, remembering all the happy ending moments that were simply the best.
All right, we are back, and thank you one last and final time to our man of many talents, Ray Butani, wedding videographer.
Thanks, Ray Butani. Steph, we actually entertained an offer from Ray to buy our business when we closed down.
So he could take over your corner of the market?
He unfortunately didn't even know how to shoot in HD, as you can see with his small hand camcorder.
Yeah.
He was a little behind in the technology world, but, you
okay.
know. He couldn't.
You were a little bit bigger.
He didn't have the capital needed. He didn't have the capital needed to buy our list of clientele and equipment. So unfortunately,
well, he might have
the deal
dragged your name into the gutter. So
unfortunately, Forever Fossilized got retired.
Yeah,
and but, Ray Butani Videography lives on.
Yeah. Well, we love you anyways, Ray.
And, thanks, Ray.
If I was in need of your services, I would maybe consider it.
Can't wait to see the highlight video of David's wedding.
Your feast, yes. So now we're going to move on. We are back to town hall, loading up with wedding decor. This Alvin Valley Furniture rental truck is there, and Johnny has a much larger group of volunteers that he's instructing. Roland, meanwhile, sitting behind him eating a sandwich, just probably for the wedding.
There's some party subs back there
and finger foods. Johnny is thanking them all for helping save his son's wedding and gets a little emotional by saying, like, on a bigger level, you've really helped save our family the past few years. Jocelyn kind of breaks that the emotional tension, coming in with this huge floral arbor. And Johnny is like, this is a little bit more than what we needed. But the shits say, Johnny, enjoy it. This is the time to spare no expense. And you've got the money now. But it's kind of nice to see that even with this newfound money, I think the ever-frugal Johnny will still be there.
He'll always be looking for ways.
And that's probably good for them moving forward, just so they don't go out of
control. Someone's
got to
be responsible in the business, yeah.
I think he's learned a lot about that. And then with a mouthful of sandwich, Roland tells Johnny that, you know, you're going to be gone soon. And not just gone from this town, but like
gone,
like dead. Something could fall from the ceiling and mimes dying.
Or
and,
a
like,
piece of space debris.
Falls into his shoulder. You're right. That's twice in one season.
Bopped on the head by a piece
People
of space
are threatening
debris. Or
Johnny's
ceiling debris.
Demise. And then just then, Roland puts on a hard helmet to tell everyone to get back to work while he's still eating his sandwich. Then we are at the motel. David arrives back with his suit in tow, and Alexis is in the bathroom getting ready, though according to the wedding itinerary, she's supposed to already be done with that, so she can be there at the door to greet him. Now, Katie, how important would you say day of itineraries are?
Important.
Yes.
Very. Mm-hmm. I think you need to just start at your ceremony and work backwards. And when you think something is going to take X amount of time, you should add 15 minutes to it. Because it's like, inevitably, something happens. Mm-hmm. Or things just take way longer than you think they're going to take.
Yes. I've learned that from teaching as well. Like, when I'm making lesson plans, in my mind, things will always go faster because I know
there'll be questions.
There's waiting time or people are late or there's just like so many scenarios. But as long as you have a game plan, I just remember, again, back to one of my brother's weddings. It was the rehearsal and my sister-in-law was very like on edge that people were like discarding the, because she passed out the day of itineraries. Like, this mm-hmm. is what everyone needs to be wearing the next day. And she found them left behind in the seats. And she's like shaking them like, who left
that itineraries? And no one had their itineraries like,
with nobody
them.
Had them. And it can be a little manic, but I think if you don't have some sort of
You have to have structure, a general
especially
structure.
Especially when you have vendors who need to know, like, when is this happening? When is that happening? So,
and like,
I definitely get it.
I will say that, so Crystal's wedding, we had a general structure and we had like a leave by time and we were pretty much on time. Like, that day went pretty seamless. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, every time, even if you're on time, the chaos of getting... So, like, we were at a house, and all the girls were dressed and ready to go, and the next step was to get to the venue. That moment of chaos is, like, always chaos. Mm-hmm. No matter what. If you are right on schedule, it's like, blah, 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 don't forget this, don't forget that, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Does everyone have my purse? Does anyone have this? Like, it's, like, 75 clucking hands, like, mm-hmm. just, like, trying to get out a door. Whether you're on time or not, it's, like, it feels like the most stressful moment ever.
I was in a wedding. It was my former student's wedding who I was in her bridal party up in Traverse City, and we were getting hair and makeup done, and we had a time, like, we had to leave because we had to drive to the church, and the makeup artist completely botched her makeup. Like,
oh, I remember she didn't do a
trial, and it was airbrush makeup, and this makeup artist, I guess, wasn't very familiar or comfortable with it, and they just made her look almost ghostly. Like, it was very unnatural looking.
I remember you said that.
And the makeup artist was getting a little upset because she could tell that she was panicking.
Yeah.
And the bride is getting upset and crying. And they're trying to wipe it off and start over. And finally, we just said, we just have to leave. And her sister, who was good with, like, doing her own makeup, literally did the bride's makeup in the back of the car that I was driving all of us. And then she looked great.
You're missing all the speed bumps?
Yeah. But it was just, like, such a stressful moment that we just had no choice because we had to be on time. She did not. No, she did not.
How do you, I mean, I guess, like, so Crystal had to pay for her trial stuff. So I was going to say, how do you not do a trial? But maybe some people just don't want to pay for it.
Because I've been looking at a lot of salons now don't, like, have a package that waives a trial fee. Like, you have to pay. Because I guess some people could, like, get the trial and then
go,
you know, do not an event book them and not or book, I don't know.
See, my feeling is like, if you take a deposit and they do the trial and then mm-hmm. cancel, well, then you've kept the deposit. You got to have a contract or something like that. Because that wasn't included in Crystal's. And I was like, that is wild. We're bringing them like 20 people for hair and makeup and they can't include a trial for the bride.
Yeah.
That seems sketch. I still need to book mine.
And I'm trying to think of like, well, what can I do while I look good? Like, let's plan something for that day. So I'm not like just
a date night or a photo shoot or something,
going back home and, you know, cleaning the house looking ready for the wedding.
Looking glam.
Well, she comes out of the bathroom, Alexis does, and shocks all of us and David because she is, not because she is looking expensive and gorgeous as she assumes, but because she is most definitely in a white gown. It's very 1930s silky gown.
Very pretty.
Does remind me a lot of the atonement dress style that was mentioned earlier. Remember that green dress?
Yep, I remember.
But white, very white. And hers has this like little tulle train bow coming out of the back of it. And David is aghast.
Shell shocked.
And she's like, well, what am I supposed to wear, David? The theme was black and white. Like, does she not want to wear black? Is that too funeral-y for her? And this is not a wedding dress. It is a floor-length white gown.
It's very different.
Totally different. David angrily asks if it came with a veil. And she says, no, it came with a headdress.
A
white tulle headdress. And I just thought it would be too much. And as she's saying this, she's kind of realizing it's not helping her argument. David is now re-stressed. All of the calming that came from the happy ending massage has worn off. And he says it's going to look like they're marrying each other if she walks him down the aisle in a wedding dress. Just then, Stevie comes in. Best look of the series for Stevie, looking dapper as hell. Hair all slicked back in a black suit. David can't even, in his, like, his rage at Alexis, he can't help but tell Stevie how nice she looks. He really thinks his friend looks great. And then he asks Stevie to weigh in if Alexis looks like she's in a wedding dress.
Or just like a floor-length
just like
wig.
It just happens to be white. And Stevie, who doesn't want to get involved, says, well, it might only look weird if you're standing next to each other, which they totally will be, as he reminds
she's
her.
She's walking me down the aisle.
Stevie also does try to make this maybe seem not so bad by pointing out that this town has probably seen far weirder things, so maybe you don't need to worry about it. 100%
true.
Alexis, trying to calm David down, pours him a glass of champagne, says we should all toast to David's big day and that we love him. And David's trying to get back into, like, happy bride mentality, but he notices the bow on the back of her dress, making it look even more bridal. And we get one final, don't, David, as he chugs his champagne and kind of grits his teeth one last time for us. Later in the day, though, the skies look like they've cleared. There's birds chirping on the exterior of Town Hall, and it's decorated with some florals and garlands
on
the outside.
That's so pretty.
We get one more view of Ray's vandalized bench sign up front.
I didn't even notice that.
just for shits
old
and giggles.
Sakes.
Yeah. And then inside, the wedding is about to start. The guests are being seated, and it looks very nice. I think they did a good job. You know, it still looks a little town hall-y, but
way prettier than you would imagine.
Yeah,
it's got this warm glow to it.
They've got nice, soft
They didn't neglect the lighting.
Flowers. They did not neglect the lighting. Patrick took that note to heart. And with the time they had, I think they did a great job. Everyone has stuck with the black and white color scheme, which is good. Because
can you
imagine being the
Somebody
one guest
just
who
stick
shows
out like
up
a
in,
sore,
like, purple?
Sore thumb, yeah.
Ray is wearing a ruffled tuxedo shirt, videographing with both hands. So is he his own second
I was, like,
shooter?
Watching him do this. And the one camera in his left hand, it looks like he's just trying to figure out how to use it. Like, as if he doesn't even know. What does this button do?
Maybe because he has to, like, swap out the batteries. He needs to, like, have one ready to
Maybe,
go
but it's also nice. I was thinking to have one camera on the groom and one on the bride as they walk down
so
the aisle.
Is he going to try to do that all himself?
I wish we could have done that at Crystal's wedding, but we only had the one camera.
Yeah, that's true. So he's there getting all the shots in, and Patrick comes from out behind the curtains along with his dad, Clint is his name?
Mm-hmm.
Clint Brewer.
Yep. Clint is apparently his best man.
Yep. And then we hear a little bit of, like, quieting down as the Jazzy Gals all kind of emerge from the audience and flock to either side of the hall. Twyla, little fun Easter egg, is wearing one of the dresses that Alexis gave her. I went back to see exactly which episode. It's the surprise party from season one.
The tie is on the top or something right?
It's Moira's birthday surprise in the barn. It's just a really cute, I think, little nod to their friendship and a nice little ending. Gwen is even there.
Gwen shows up.
But she's on the other side from Bob. And I was kind of watching, like, does she make eye contact with Bob or vice versa? But I think Bob was just kind of, like, lasered in. The ceremony is about to begin. All the Jazzy Gals start singing in a very, like, goose pimple moment for me. Ooh. They're singing Precious Love, which is such a great throwback to our season finale, which was the winner for that season.
Yes.
The curtains at the back open, and this is, like, it's so jaw-dropping to see. We're so used to it because we've watched it, but I remember the first time seeing this look.
Freaking Moira walks out.
It's, I think, her most jaw-dropping outfit of the entire series as far as, like, how
I'm pretty sure I screamed
bizarre
at the TV.
It's off the wall, it is. It's, I can only describe it as she's the Pope meets Barbie meets Moira.
Absolutely.
Like,
also,
it's so perfect, though.
Do you remember when this episode aired and it was the first time we watched on TV and we were having storms?
We were having storms. Katie was, like,
we kept FaceTiming back and forth
to watch your TV and then vice versa because the signal was going out.
Ugh.
But apparently, I remember reading this, that she worked with Hair and Wardrobe to design the headpiece. Like, Catherine actually came up with a sketch for this inner tube of hair with
the
Pope hat coming out of it. And then they made it work. And
it's so amazing. The gold gloves, the long,
huge, giant, like, ice cube of a ring. It's so good.
So good.
So she comes out and she walks, you know, down, and she's radiant, and then next the curtains open, and it's Johnny and Stevie, and I love them together because it's like partners, but also father and daughter.
Family.
And I think their relationship's probably my favorite, maybe tied or even more with David and Patrick, just because it's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their friendship and partnership gave each of them so much character growth. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's so sweet that, you know, Stevie's kind of just looking at Johnny happily, and he gives her a little kiss at the end of the aisle on her forehead.
So cute.
While he takes his seat, and she gets, you know, ready next
and
to
Moira,
where David
the way
will
Moira
be.
Looks at Stevie, like it's her daughter,
look.
You know?
I mean, we know how proud she is of Stevie from Cabaret and just mm-hmm. everything with the family and the business. So Precious Love sort of dies down, and then they start humming for the wedding walk song. And then we get a glimpse of Alexis and David waiting in this breezeway. And Alexis is, like, nervously pacing. Because now she's worried that she actually did wear a wedding dress. And David, who is holding a bouquet, which I think is amazing, says, it's fine. And Alexis says, I just really wanted to impress you today, but now I feel like I'm ruining your wedding.
Oh, you're giving
David
yourself
says
a lot of credit.
You're giving yourself a lot of credit because my wedding was already ruined. But for what it's worth, he says something so sweet that he is continuously impressed by her. Honestly, might be the nicest thing he's ever said to her on the show. And they just have a really sweet moment together, but he says we should probably get going before people get suspicious or worse, lose interest. So she gives him a little boop and they get into position and they tell each other they love each other. Like, literally, we've never heard this family say they love
each
other.
Alexis says
so
it,
much.
And David says, "Oh, stop! Yeah. Like, shake it off."
But like, everyone is able to say it so openly in this mm-hmm. episode, and so they get into position. Cut to tears for Dan/David, which I honestly think from this point on we're seeing Dan for the rest of the sequence. Like, I think
it's for sure. It's
Dan's
like a goodbye.
Emotions. It's a goodbye. It's also just very personal. And then the curtains open for them, and it's so beautiful. The Simply the Best. Like, I got chills. I get chills every time I watch it.
Me too. I want the Jazzy Gals version of this song.
I do too.
Like, without any narration, any voiceover. Like, I want a Jazzy Gals album, damn it.
It's beautiful. Alexis is just watching her brother as he's taking all of it in.
As they walk down the aisle.
And he's looking at not only, like, you know, his husband at the end of the aisle, but seeing what the town's people were able to do to make this happen.
Right.
Getting to
it's
hear
like a
the
room reveal for him.
Right. Getting to hear the Jazzy Gals singing Simply the Best, which we know how important that was to him. And, you know, now it's important to all of us. It's just, I called it a sensory love orgasm. It's like what?
A sensory love orgasm.
It makes me feel. It's just like everything
is so good.
For how rotten this day started for him. Like, I can't think of anything that would have made this better in this moment. Johnny and Roland are sitting together, and Roland does point out they kind of look like their husband and wife, which Johnny, at this point, nothing is going to spoil this day for him. And he's like, yeah, you're kind of right.
The best thing he could have said there, and I wish he would have said, don't worry, it's his sister.
Don't worry, it's his sister. Oh, you're right. That would have been a good line. Well, we kind of get a nod to that in the very end of this episode.
I know, but man, it was like the perfectly timed.
David catches eyes with his dad and kind of mouths.
He says
thank you to him.
I just noticed that last night when
for
I was watching it back. Yes.
Just everything. You know, this must have been an emotional moment for Dan and Eugene just because they're playing father and son, but that's their real relationship too. And David and Alexis reach the end of the aisle, have a nice hug. And then David and Patrick take their places side by side and facing Moira. And she goes from
holding it together.
And then as soon as she tries to speak, she's just overcome by all the emotions she's been trying to avoid today.
I feel like this is going to be me.
It surprises everyone, including herself. Like, she can't, her voice is breaking and she can't regulate her tone or her volume. It's just like, she's just out of whack because she's so emotional now. And she goes into this beautiful speech about how our lives are like little baby crows carried upon by a curious wind. And her message, though very like Moira-y, it lands well for David and Patrick, but also kind of is talking about their family as a mm-hmm. whole in this town. And eventually David says, okay, we're good. Time for the vows. We also get a good full view of David's look. He's wearing a skirt with his suit, which I really like. I think that's perfect for David. I can't imagine him in a traditional tuxedo mm-hmm. at all. So David, or Patrick, goes first with the vows. His breath is a little shaky and he's nervous, and you can see just how much he loves David. And kudos to Noah for this whole scene, I think, just giving it the justice it deserved.
Acting talent, once acting again. He's so good.
The emotion is there. And says he wants to keep it very short. And he does, in a risky move that totally pays off. He sings his vows. It's Mariah Carey's Always Be My Baby. He starts by speaking, and then the second line he starts singing.
It's so good.
It's so good, but, like, thank God David knows that Patrick can sing, and thank God we all know, because if I was at a wedding and someone started singing their vows, I would get a little nervous.
And it's Mariah Carey.
And it's Mariah Carey.
The one and only, David's favorite.
And David is crying. You can see Stevie's kind of tearing up in the background. I do have to tell you, I wasn't sure if I'm going to tell you this part, but so this is like their little inside joke about David loving Mariah Carey, right, and right. We know Dan loves Mariah Carey. Who doesn't? Well, Sushant and I have a vow joke. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but Sushant jokes that his vows are already written because he likes to get me all the time by speaking song lyrics as if he's like actually saying something sincere. And so the song that he always goes to and he says he's going to use for our vows, which I know he won't, is Shakira's Wherever, Whenever.
Wherever, we're meant to be together. I'll be there and you'll be near.
And that's all the deal, my dear.
Gotta get that.
So, in fact, I made a wedding or an engagement photo album. And on the very last page, there's like a picture of us like running down the hill. And it just says, and that's the deal, my dear. Because he's always joking. I know. Like,
that is a hilarious song to think of.
It is.
Like,
but he just says it very matter-of-factly, not sing-songy at
right,
all.
But I would also love to hear him sing that.
I absolutely would, too. Well, the night is young, Katie, so you never know.
Tell Joe to get him liquored up.
So Patrick finishes his very short but sweet vows, and David even says, like, you know, he's going to have to pull it together for his own vows. It's very heartfelt, though. He talks about all the firsts that he's had with Patrick, from the first smile to the first feeling of love and safeness. Mm-hmm. And then he ends it with saying, Patrick Brewer, you are my happy ending.
That was a last minute add.
Guaranteed. Was it?
I think it was. I think it was. I think he had, but knowing it hasn't been an easy road, but knowing you'll always be at the end is good, blah, blah, blah. And then I think after today's happy ending massage, mm-hmm, and seeing how stressed out Patrick was about it.
Oh, yeah. I think Patrick, it wasn't last minute.
No, not for... I'm saying for David, like, in the show. Like, he just added it that day.
Oh, yeah. For David,
No, I definitely think it was written.
Yeah. I was like, that's too clever to...
No. Like, David last minute threw that in.
But, yeah. I think it's such a great way to tie it all together. And it makes Patrick smile.
Yeah.
Gets a little chuckle.
And nobody but him and Stevie know that's even
exactly
funny.
It's an inside joke they can laugh at forever. Moira then has them exchange their rings, and her voice is still not regulating. It's all up and down. And then she gladly pronounces them husband and husband. You may kiss each other, which I really like when she says you may kiss each other. Even in like a heterosexual relationship, I think.
You may kiss the bride.
It's still very like gendered or just like... You may kiss your bride.
How about just, you may kiss.
You may kiss.
You may kiss to seal the deal, my dear.
My youngest brother, they didn't kiss at the altar. They just walked away, and then they kissed, like, for the photographer. And we were all just like, what?
The most awkward thing to me is that Catholic weddings, this is mostly exclusively Catholic weddings, where it's not really a thing. It's more of their religious rite and stuff. So a lot of Catholic priests won't say, you may kiss the bride. They'll just announce, I now pronounce you Steph and Sushant, husband and wife, blah, blah, blah. And they don't say kiss the bride. And so then it's just like
awkward
10 seconds of
should
awkward.
We kiss?
Do we kiss now? Do we kiss now? And then they do kiss and then everyone laugh claps. And
you'd think they would hash that out in the rehearsal or something, but people don't remember.
No, it's just like Catholic priests. Oh. Half the time the freaking priest isn't even doing the rehearsal. It's like some church lady,
yeah,
you know?
That's true. So they kiss, and it's very sweet, and there's a standing ovation. They walk down the aisle. Moira now has raccoon tears dripping down her face.
Her mascara is gone.
And she walks with Johnny, and he gives her credit for her role, but she said, well, someone had to hold it together. And your son's wedding is hardly the place for sentimentality.
Your one and only son's wedding.
As she's clearly bawling. Cut to our final scene of the series, Katie.
Oh, it's the next. One's so hard.
And we know this was like the final scene they filmed. Yeah. Like everyone's final
so
takes
hard.
Were here. So it's the next morning outside the motel, 6 a.m. One last time together. They all look super hungover but happy in their wedding clothes. Nobody's gone to bed yet. Johnny's waiting by the black car that's there to take them off to the airport or wherever. And he's calling for Moira, who's saying she's just moving as fast as she can. And they are dressed classically, Johnny, almost in a full circle outfit from when they first arrived. Like, he's got the same blue collar shirt on, but his version of like a nice crisp blue shirt. Moira is in this very nice traveling outfit, a black and white checkered
leggings,
suit.
Flight leggings.
Not quite there. Stevie tells them she'll miss them both, and Moira goes in for a hug and says, "That's as sweet as the liquor wafting off your breath." And then Johnny hugs his partner and tells her to just take care of the place. And then this is my hiccup or hang up with the episode, because he says, "And if you have a chance, room 7
needs
a
turn down,"
and gives her his key back. And we all know that they were in rooms 4 and 5.
I hate this too. So people say, people will defend it on the thing, saying a turn down is like a clean or a like a cleanup, like make the beds and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, for who? Nobody lives in that room anyway, right. First of all. But I thought he was saying like saying goodbye to his own room when he said that was what I took it as the first time I saw it.
Well, yeah.
Right.
But that's not his room. So that's my
right.
issue.
Yeah.
I think it's a script flaw.
I do too.
Patrick wishes them good luck, says they can't wait for them to come back and they can host them at their new house
yeah,
when they come
we
for
all
a visit.
Get to, let's have the shit's Thanksgiving at the Patrick's,
yeah,
at the Brewer's
house. And
maybe
Jude Law and Jack Black will be there. Kate Winslet and
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. Moira says the couriers will be by for the bulk of the luggage later.
And don't forget,
make sure the girls, aka her wigs, are, and Alexis and David finish her lines, shipped in a temperature-controlled cargo container.
Yes.
So clearly she's gone over this with
good
gone
God.
Over this many times.
We
with
all
them.
Know.
We get the last four hugs as the roses all say goodbye for now to each other.
But Moira never hugs Patrick. That
Does
annoys
she not?
Me. No. I watched
yeah.
it again to make sure.
It's a goodbye to the show, but we know that they'll continue to be close in the Schitt's Creek universe. But it is the last hug between these okay. actors on the show and in these roles. So I think that's why you can tell it's so sad and heartfelt.
These are all real tears.
100%. I also love that the last hug is between Alexis and Johnny, which I think is just kind of important. And again, I said this before, I'm just proud of how comfortable the family has gotten with saying that they mm-hmm. love each other. Because they could hardly spend time with each other at the beginning of this series. So they get in the car and the kids huddle as they drive off for one last time. And I think, too, just us having been in that parking lot, too, like it always just feels extra special not watching those scenes. So as they're driving out of town, Johnny yells to the driver to stop the car. And we can see that they've passed the town sign and he wants just one last look. And then here's a going away gift that Moira had hinted was from Roland, is why he and Jocelyn weren't at their goodbye as they were driving off from the motel. Clearly, he was arranging for the sign to have been repainted. The town sign, the iconic Don't Worry, It's a Sister sign, it has the roses in it instead of the original Schitt's, which they are, after all, the owners
the town,
of the town.
They still own the town.
They still
after
own
all
the town.
This.
So it's Moira in the role of the original
The wife.
The,
or no.
No,
she's
the,
holding the bag.
She's
the
guy,
she's the bag.
And then Johnny is with his skirt up to his knees, bending over. And then
she's
added,
the batter and Johnny's the pitcher, if you will. Right? The
yeah,
catcher.
The catcher. And then David and Alexis are standing in the creek in the background, giving little cutie peace signs.
Cute.
And This Will Be Our Year by the Zombies plays as we see the new sign
too.
And cut to credits. And Katie, that is the end of the show.
Just wanted one last look, Johnny
One last
says.
Look as they drive off
Best
to their futures.
Of the series. So
wow.
good.
I don't know how to feel. We did it.
The wedding. The wedding went so fast in this episode.
It was really just one scene, but yeah. It felt like an eternity because it just, there was so many little special moments about it and exchanges and
so many good details in the wedding too.
Honestly, this episode feels like an hour when I think about it, but then you watch it and it is only like 22 minutes.
You think about like everything in the wedding, like the songs, the jazzy gals, mm-hmm. the vows being Mariah Carey, the happy ending little ad, like so many little juicy like script details.
And even just the visual details and like the throwback to Twyla wearing Alexis's dress that she gave her. I think there's just so much.
So good.
So much there. Well, Katie, instead of a final, kind of a would you rather, I'm going to have us play Wedding Edition Keep or Toss.
Oh, okay.
So these elements that they had at the wedding, would you keep them or would you toss them okay. if it was your own wedding?
Just want my knee-jerk reaction?
Yes.
Okay.
The black and white color scheme, keep or toss?
Toss.
Toss. Do you like a little bit of color?
I like a little bit of color.
Okay.
I like to like let everyone wear what yeah. they want.
Ray as a videographer.
Toss. Keep or toss.
I can't even get the word out. A cappella music.
Keep. I like
you
that.
Like the
as long as it's
music.
Done well.
Yes.
Jazzy Girls did it well.
How about an outdoor wedding with no tent? Keep or toss?
No, toss.
Toss that one. Pizza oven. Keep or toss?
Keep.
Keep the pizza oven. Personal vows. Keep or toss?
Keep.
All right. And then the last one, Schitt's Creek as our all-time favorite show. Keep or toss?
Keep. You know, that's like the shoe game that they play at weddings.
Yeah.
Where the bride and groom. That's your mic. We're good. That's like the shoe game they play at weddings where like the very last question is, yeah, their very last question is, who do you love more than anyone in the world? And they gotta like say each other.
Cute.
Of course I'm gonna say Schitt's Creek. Keep.
Well,
so cute.
We made it to the end of the creek.
We did. Any polls? Well, let's talk next week because I need to take next week off. So
okay. So we'll be back in a couple weeks for our season 6 debate.
Our typical head-to-head. You're going
to
vote on our two favorites.
I guess we should refresh the audience on what those were.
Mine was the premiere, and that was when Alexis threw together the Crows movie premiere. And what else happens with the rest of the family? Oh, and David and Patrick have a really serious discussion about their future in that one. And I'm not sure if anything important happens with Johnny and Stevie in that one.
Mine was the Moira Rose episode where they go wine tasting and get super wasted, but also Patrick and Johnny get to have a really sweet heart-to-heart, and something sweet is going on with Alexis that week before it all falls apart with Ted, and I got depressed, but that was a really good episode for them. So we will unpack those in the new year, and then we will have to reconvene to put all of these Simply the Best of seasons 1 through 6 head to head, because ultimately, Katie, the goal with all of this was to land on our Simply the Best of every season. The one that takes the cake for them all. So we'll have to figure that out. We've also mentioned some honorable mentions that we might
have
to give credit to.
Too.
So that's all ahead
coming
of the new
up.
Year. We're not over yet.
We're not quite done with us yet.
We are done
quick.
With the big task, which was getting through all 80 episodes, and we did it, Katie. So chin chin to us.
We have some hungry husbands waiting for some dinner.
We
now,
do.
So.
But I hope you all have a happy new year. Best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.